Welcome to The Last Trump, a radio show on end times prophecy. We encourage you to get your Bibles out and go to the scriptures with us as we look at the biblical truths found within the Bible that are pointing us to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And now, live from the Revolution Studios on Grand Island, New York, here's your host, Mike Chory.
Welcome tonight to The Last Trump. We're delighted to have you a part of this broadcast coming to you live from Grand Island, New York, a grand place to live and a grand place to do a radio broadcast. I hope everyone out there is having a great time this weekend. And tonight we've got a great broadcast for you. And of course, 2 1-hour broadcasts, the first one on Bible prophecy. We call it The Last Trump. The next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. And oh, are we getting ever so close to that moment. And for all of you that truly have your faith in Christ, there is no moment in human history outside of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no moment more anticipated, more earth-changing than the rapture of the church. And that is the next event. And God has the exact moment, the appointed time for when the bridegroom comes for the bride. And that's pretty fitting tonight, just coming from a wedding tonight. Me and my wife went to a wedding, and of course, there's nothing like that. And to see the bride come down the aisle and the bridegroom waiting. Well, the rapture of the church is actually the opposite of that. The bridegroom is the one who's coming for the bride. And he's going to descend, friend, from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And that's where this broadcast gets its title. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52 calls it the last trump. And the reason it's called the last trump, we believe, is because of the Feast of Trumpets in Israel. They will blast 100 trumpets on the Feast of Trumpets. It's known as Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And the last blast, which is the long blast where the priest will blow with every breath he's got, that 100th blast, the last trump. And the scripture says it's the last trump when the Lord is going to call his bride home. And we have the last trump broadcast here to get you ready for that moment. And we believe, and you can believe whatever you want, that it could be, you know, on just any old day when the Lord's coming. I personally believe when the Lord comes for his church, it will be on the Feast of Trumpets. I don't know the year, but I know it's close. It could be this year. And the Lord told me to tell the people to be ready. And this year, of course, the Feast of Trumpets is on September 23rd and 24th. When the sun goes down on September 22nd, it's Rosh Hashanah 2025. Could this be the year? It absolutely could be. And if it's not, and the Lord gives us another year, praise the Lord, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, trying to get as many people into the ark of safety, getting them saved, born again, and ready for heaven as we can. But listen, friend, it could be. It could very well be that he comes this year. And the question I want to ask you tonight, are you ready for the most earth-shaking, life-changing event that the world has seen in 2,000 years? That's how important this broadcast is. And tonight here to help me break it on down from Central Pennsylvania, my co-host, Kurt Space. Kurt, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. It's good to be here again for a live episode tonight of The Last Trump. And, it, you know, for those who don't know, today is actually the 1 month date away from Feast of Trumpets. So we're officially 1 month away. September 23rd, it starts this year. So it means we're in high alert mode, right? Every time this time of year comes around, we're always, you know, we're watchmen on the watchtower all year long. But once you get into the fall feast, it's high watch. Here we are, a month away.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting from the standpoint of the Lord, when he comes for his bride, think about it. For all those who are in Christ, all those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, born again, names written in the Lamb's book of life, you have oil in your lamp, you're ready for his return. You will never have another problem forever and ever. You will be placed in a new body that will never age. It will never sicken. It will never be pained. You'll never have to worry about glasses, dentures, hair loss, back problems. And here's the biggest thing, Kirk, that makes me so wanting the coming of the Lord. There will be no more poverty for those that are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're going to have to go through the most severe 7 years that have ever been in the history of the world. But if you're in Christ, you'll never have another problem. There'll be no one that can ever harm you. There are no hospitals in heaven. There are no doctors. There's no locks on the door. There's no theft. There's no perversion. There's no profanity. Friend, this is the kingdom of God that the Lord, through his cross, his death on the cross, has opened the door for you and I to go through. The question is, will you go through it? Will you believe? And will you trust in the blood to save you tonight? Kirk, I don't know of any bigger no-brainer decision in life than to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's only two options, heaven or hell. Well, I choose heaven. I choose Jesus. I don't know how anyone could choose anything else. It's only deception on the work of the devil that keeps people from making this decision.
Yeah, amen, brother. You know, and there's a lot of things, you know, looking forward to, you know, with the rapture. Like you said, there won't be any more poverty, illness, you know, our bodies won't hurt, you know, like this is stuff we deal with on a daily basis. And, you know, the older we get, the worse it gets, the harder it gets, you know, and then there's major illness and families and sickness, and it's all going away. But most importantly, aside from all those things that are going to change, the fact that we'll be standing in the presence of Jesus is what the most important. And I cannot wait for that day to be in his presence of the man who shed his blood for me.
I want to read something from the scripture on that, what you just said, because you hit it right on the head. The most important thing about the rapture is we're going to see Jesus.
Yep.
And I just came back, me and my wife, from a wedding, as I said, from a former player that used to play on my baseball team. Tremendous kid, tremendous athlete, became a Buffalo police officer. I'm so proud of him. And married a beautiful girl, both from Grand Island. And I quoted this scripture when I prayed over them at the wedding, at the reception. And it's the life verse of me and my wife and our marriage. And I just felt led of the Lord to read this. But I want to read it to you tonight that are listening. When you talk about the coming of the Lord, this verse stands out for me. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them who love him. I want to read that again. I want this to sink in tonight. There is nothing in this world, friend, that is worth you forfeiting your soul over to keep you from what God has prepared for you. And I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about a mansion in glory. I'm talking about peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Heaven is real, and it is the most splendid, the most beautiful, the most peaceful place you could ever be in. But that's not the greatest part of it. Kirk said it right. It's to be in the presence of God, to see the face of God, the face of Jesus. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them who love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit has revealed to me, and I know Kirk would say the same, this incredible longing to be with Jesus, to go and to be with him forever and ever. And the only thing here on earth that's really worth living outside of your family, but this really includes what I'm about to say, includes my family and your family. The only real reason to be here on this earth is to lead people to Jesus Christ. That's it. The Bible said, he who wins souls is wise. And there is nothing that is greater than leading someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we're about ready to see Jesus. He's coming. The signs are there. Do we have another year? Do we have a few more years? Maybe. But you better live like he's coming now. Because if you take it for granted that he's just putting it off, he said he'll come like a thief in the night. And if you're not ready, if there's not oil in your lamp, you're going to be left behind. And friend, I've thought about that. What is it going to be like when the rapture takes place and people know that Jesus came and he left you here? I don't think, Kirk, there could be any more miserable feeling than to be left behind.
You know, yeah, not at all. And, you know, it's so sad because we all know people who are going to be left, you know, and the thought alone is just, you know, it's sickening. But this is, you know, and I get it, right? Because they're spiritually blind, right? And it took the Lord 33 years to open my eyes. You know, it's literally like a light switch goes on, you know, and it took the Lord all those years to get me to see it. You know, same with you in your young 20s. You know, we weren't living for the Lord the first, you know, early years of our life. And it's like, you can't even comprehend it or see it or think about it, you know? So it's just a sad thought to think of how many people out there today, they don't get it. They don't know it. They don't see it. You know, they don't even consider the afterlife or what's coming. And, you know, they think, well, I have a good life. You know, God has blessed me with a good job. I have money, this, that, and the other. You know, why would I need to give my life to God? And it's not about having something here and now on the earth. It's about the eternal, what's coming. I mean, there's an eternity coming. You know, this breath we live here on earth is just but a whisper, right? You know, so it's our job. You know, that's the Great Commission, to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's why we do this radio show. It's, you know, why we do everything. It's, you know, it's not for likes and clicks and views and, you know, a platform. No, it's none of that. It's to get people the truth so that their eyes can be opened the same way our eyes were opened. And we can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit through us can do that, but you have to do it first.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the scripture, as you were talking, it jumped out at me, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And the Bible says it is hidden. They can't see it, those that are lost. And then the Bible says it's the God of this world, little g, Satan, who has blinded, get this, the minds of them which believe not. And I was speaking to a Hindu man last night, witnessing to him at a rally that I spoke at, and he just couldn't see it, couldn't understand it. I told him God loved him. I told him Jesus is the only way, because Jesus died on the cross for his sins, and all he could give me is Hinduism. He could not comprehend what I was telling him. And I realized the devil had deceived him. He was following a religion that had a God that was not alive, a God that was made up by Satan. Hinduism is a teaching of how to live, but it doesn't give you the God of the living. It doesn't bring you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he wanted to say, you know, he wanted me to respect his belief in Hinduism. And I said, well, I respect your opinion, but I don't agree with your Hinduism. It's wrong. There's only one way. And he said, well, there are many ways to get to God. I said, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Christ, because Christ died to take away our sins. No one else did that. And he rose from the dead to prove it. That's the gospel. That's the gospel tonight. Well, tonight we are moving on, Kirk. We're going to the 12th chapter of the great book of Revelation. Of course, we have started this book some months ago, and I pray it's being a blessing to those that are listening tonight. You have to understand, this goes out all over the world through the JR app. It goes out all over the world through our podcast. And Kirk, our podcast, Praise God, is picking up momentum.
Oh, yeah, brother. You know, praise the Lord. And it was it was over a year ago now. I think January it was a year. The Lord spoke to me in my truck and said, put Cross-Eyed Radio and The Last Trump on your RSS feed and put them out into the podcasting world, like through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. And I thought that was probably just me. And then Adam confirmed it literally like 10 minutes later. We weren't even speaking. So we ran it by you. You said, let's do it. And within the first month, The Last Trump went on all seven continents. And now here we are, you know, with thousands of downloads. I sent you the screenshot today of the map of where the show is being downloaded. And it's just incredible what the Lord's done with it. I mean, it is all over Europe. You know, it's in Australia. The United States is peppered with it. You know, so this radio broadcast that you folks are listening to right now in the Western New York area, I mean, this is going all over the planet. And glory to God. You know, it's just been incredible.
And I wonder if we could possibly, you know, Spencer's here tonight, our engineer, and Kirk, you, between the two of you, get that map up on our website where people could see the impact that's happening all over the world. Because I think it would encourage our listeners who support this to see it's not just Buffalo, West New York, Southern Ontario,
right?
But this is being picked up, like you said, literally all over the world. To God be the glory.
It's unbelievable, you know, and so fast, you know, that it was the Lord confirmed it, you know, what I heard in my spirit that I thought was me, but, you know, it was clearly the Lord, and it's all his doing. Like, you need to understand, folks, like the Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Amazon, Samsung, all those, like, we don't promote that really. You know, we don't, it's not like we're pushing the, you know, the pavement to give people the podcast. The Lord has done this on their own. The only advertising we do is here on the radio, and the people download it through the JR app, or they just search, you know, there's hashtags attributed to, you know, the podcast about end times or Last Trump, whatever it is. And people are finding us on their own. And that's clearly the Lord's doing.
Amazing.
You know, so we haven't, you know, we can't take any of the credit for any of this. All I did was just, you know, Spencer uploads the Saturday night radio broadcast to the app on Mondays, and then I take it from the app and put it on the rest of them. God does the rest. So we can't take any of the credit.
And we give God all the glory, and we'll only know when we get to heaven how many have come to Christ through The Last Trump. And tonight here, we're in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. For those of you that are new listening, maybe you've not picked up this broadcast, we have covered the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. From Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 11 is believed to be the first 3.5 years. Now, for those of you that may be novice to this teaching on end times, let us just remind you, the Lord has told us exactly how long the tribulation period will be. It says in Daniel chapter 9 that the Antichrist will sign, or let me say it better, will confirm a covenant with Israel for 1 week, 7 years. Not 7 days, but 7 years. And the Antichrist will break that covenant here in the 12th chapter, and we're going to study it tonight. The first 42 months, because if you look at 7 years, it's 84 months on the calendar. 3.5 years is 42 months. And when you get to the midpoint, there is a very, very cataclysmic event. We're going to cover it tonight. That starts the second half of the 7-year tribulation. Now, Kirk, we should read this to the people tonight, what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21, because this is a terrible time. You don't want to be on the earth. That's the bottom line. And at this midpoint, all of a sudden, it's going to change. And it's going to go from the tribulation to now the great tribulation. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21.
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Nor shall ever be. This tribulation period is the worst time in 6,000 years of human history to be on the earth, even worse than Noah's flood. Noah's flood was quick. The people drowned, it was over. This is going to be 7 years of pain, suffering for the world. And it is called in the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. God is using the great tribulation or the tribulation period of 7 years to bring the nation of Israel to their knees. You have to understand, friend, God called Abraham in Genesis 12. He was called of God to father a nation, that God would reveal himself to the world as faithful. And he has never, never kept a promise that he made to the nation of Israel. And Israel in its current state is 99% backslidden. Only 1% of the Jewish population in the world believe in God's Son as the Messiah. And yet God remains faithful to the nation of Israel, because the Bible says when we are not faithful to him, he remains faithful to us because he cannot deny himself. But understand, their disobedience as a nation has prolonged, or let me say it better, paused the plan of God for the nation of Israel, which is to use the Jewish people and Israel to be the nation that leads the world for God. And they forfeited that right 2,000 years ago when they rejected Jesus as their Messiah. They said, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. They did not believe he was God's son. They believed he was an imposter. But history has shown itself that Jesus Christ was and he is the Son of the living God. And God has not forsaken Israel. God has not given up on Israel. He brought them back as a nation in 1948. They're 77 years old tonight. Jesus said, When the fig tree is again showing life, the leaves are on the trees, said that generation that sees that shall not pass away before the coming of the Son of Man. It's very late tonight, Kirk. We are very close to the culmination of the ages. And the beginning of it all is the rapture of the church, followed by the seven-year tribulation. And where we're going tonight is the midpoint. This is called the last 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. It's called the Great Tribulation. And if God will help us over the next several weeks, we're going to show you why it's so great of a tribulation. You don't want to be on the earth for any of it.
Well, you know, as for the past couple of months, we've shown how bad the first half is. The second half, it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to what's coming. But, you know, you mentioned earlier briefly about Daniel 9:27 with the Antichrist, the signing, the peace signing with many nations in Israel. And I wanted to bring this up because it's very relevant. And I just learned about it today. But next month, okay, September 9th, is the 80th session of the UN General Assembly. Okay. And they have their first debate is kicking off September 23rd, right? The Feast of Trumpets. But what the headlines are saying around this 80th UN General Assembly is that the Western nations are now taking a key step towards a two-state solution. There's now France, Canada, Britain, Malta, Australia. They're all preparing to recognize a state of Palestine in the upcoming General Assembly. Now, they would be joining over 147 other UN countries that already do so. You know, but the headlines are saying there's a way forward for a two-state solution if Palestinian leaders embrace the Abraham Accords. Okay, now what's interesting about, you know, we're talking about this covenant with many, right? Mm-hmm. And this is September 9th, right? 2 weeks before the Feast of Trumpets. But here's what's really interesting too. Consequently enough, 2 days before that assembly starts, there's a significant cosmic sign going on in the heavens. And this is a record-breaking event. There's over 7 billion, with a B, 7 billion people on the planet are going to witness a total lunar eclipse blood moon, okay? And this is, it will be seen by the vast majority of the planet, and that's September 7th and 8th. The next day is the General Assembly. Now, you could say it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't, you know, that's just coincidence. But, you know, with God, there are no coincidences. And what people always believed over the years was that a blood moon, a total lunar eclipse, meant it was a harbinger of war, I believe, for Israel. And it was the solar eclipse where they said it was a harbinger of war for the Gentiles. So needless to say, you know, whether this is significant or not, we're coming up on a UN assembly here where most of the Western nations are now looking to recognize a two-state solution. So this is a huge development.
Well, a two-state solution is not God's solution, because he gave the land to the Jews. And that is clear in Scripture. It's the promised land. And he gave it to Joshua. They came across the Jordan River. They took city after city. And it's the enemy that's trying to pull that away from the Jewish people. When you look at the promised land, it's just a small sliver of land comparison to the great land of the Middle East. Why Israel has to fight for that land, there's a reason. Satan doesn't want them to have any of it. And how can you have a two-state solution with another nation that wants to annihilate you and destroy you and remove you off the face of the earth? And you're right. The Jewish rabbis believe lunar eclipses mean bad for Israel. Solar eclipses mean bad for the Gentiles. But remember what the prophet Joel said in the last days. He said, God will show wonders in the heaven and to the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. So these things are signs in the heavens that we must keep our eyes on. And right now, there is much signs pointing to the coming of the Lord.
You know, some days they drag, and some days they fly, and some days I think about the day that I'll die. You know, some days Lord, some days but you know what? One day Jesus, he's calling my name. I say one day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him that his love can change. More than day that Jesus calls my name. Now most days I'm cursing, some days I'm not. A set number of days, you know I put myself first, but it's not what I do. The cross made that plain. And someday Jesus will call my name. One day Jesus will call.
Hard to cut that off tonight. Randy Knapp's One Day Jesus is going to call my name. And on that day, may there be no big change because you're walking so close to him. You're listening to The Last Trump tonight. Kurt Space, my co-host. I'm Mike Chory. And we're in the Revelation chapter 12 tonight. Kurt, let's pick it up with the first two verses and let's get right into this tonight.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered.
All right. Now, first of all, you always have to remember your context in the book of Revelation, where you are. And like I said before the break, we're at the midpoint of the tribulation period. So we're 42 months roughly into it, with another 42 months to go. And John sees this great wonder in heaven as he has been taken up into heaven. And what he sees a woman, and she's clothed with the sun. Now, this woman is speaking of national Israel. That is really what the tribulation is all about, friend. It's not about the church. The church is gone. The church, the Bible says that God has not appointed his children for wrath. His children are gone. The great tribulation is dealing with unbelieving Israel. And the Lord is going to do a major work in Israel. There's going to be a revival, the Bible tells us. This woman, again, is natural is national Israel, or natural Israel, I should say. And under her feet is she's clothed with the sun, right? And she's found here, the Bible says, upon her head, there's a crown with 12 stars. Now, we see the number 12 a lot with the nation of Israel. There were 12 tribes of Israel. We'll talk about those more in a moment. 12 disciples. The number 12 in the Bible speaks of government. When we get to heaven, we see there's going to be 24 elders. That's 2 times 12. We're going to see 24 elders sitting on chairs in the throne room of God. But 12 is a number that it speaks of in the book of Revelation, dealing with the nation of Israel. And it says, she was with child, she cried and travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, what is she delivering? She is delivering, it's a spiritual pregnancy. And Kirk, we've covered this in Revelation chapter 7, where God is going to birth, reborn, 144,000 Jews, 12,000, there's our 12 again, from 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're all going to be saved, born again, believers in Yeshua HaMashiach in the tribulation. There's a great revival coming for Israel.
Yeah, amen. And that's what, verse 2 here is what we believe is the child is the 144,000. You know, Israel is spoken of by the prophets and by Christ as going through tremendous travail in the last days. I mean, Isaiah says here, I'm going to read it. It's in chapter 66, verses 7 and 8. It says, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who had heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her child. Right? So this is now the fulfillment of that verse. And, you know, you see it also in Jeremiah 30, verses 4 through 7. So there's a lot of speculation here and assumption that this isn't Israel. Some say it's the church, you know, so it's, there's a whole bunch of different beliefs here, but Isaiah makes it pretty clear that this can only be Israel, the national Israel.
You've brought out exactly the verse I wanted to go to, Isaiah 66. Really, you could start in the fifth verse and right to where you read and right up to the ninth verse. And see, people need to understand, to understand Revelation, you need to understand other places of the Bible. And what Kirk just read to you connects these two chapters, the prophecy in Isaiah, and now John is seeing this. The Lord is going to save and for a time seal 144,000 Jews during the tribulation, born again, spirit-filled believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, this is huge when you think about it. And I was thinking about, you know, we just had Joshua Aaron here for our conference, and he is a Messianic Jew. And he shared from the stage outside here in our church, he said that right now in the nation of Israel, he believed there were about 30,000 Jews that are born again, Messianic. But think about this. The Lord is going to save and raise up 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And they are going to be, the Bible says, witnesses. And the Lord is going to protect them from the Antichrist. And he no doubt is going to try to martyr them and kill them. But they will be protected for a time. And then the Lord is going to take them up. He's going to rapture them up into glory. Let's keep reading, Kirk, tonight, verses 3 down to verse 6.
Okay. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads.
All right, let's stop there just for a moment so the people at home know who we're talking about. The great red dragon is Satan himself. The 7 heads is speaking of the 7 empires over history who have persecuted the nation of Israel. Let me give you those 7 tonight. Number 1, Egypt. Number 2, Assyria. 3, Babylon. Number 4, Media or Medo-Persia. Number 5, the Grecian Empire, Greece. Number 6, Rome. And number 7 will be this confederation or this confederacy of 10 nations that will be led by the Antichrist to war against and persecute the nation of Israel during the tribulation time. So these are the 7 empires or 7 heads with the 10 horns, the 10 nations, and the 7 crowns upon his head. That means these empires are all controlled by Satan himself, and they have one main desire: to destroy the Jewish people. Why does Satan hate the Jews so much? because they gave us the Bible. The nation of Israel gave us the Messiah, Jesus. And salvation, the Bible says, is of the Jews. And that is why Satan hates them. Don't misunderstand, he hates everyone. But he particularly hates the Jews and then the Christians because of their stand for Jesus Christ. Let's go on to now 4th through the 6th verse.
And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
Wow, this is just so amazing prophetically. Kirk, I'm going to give you a first crack at that, how these verses, what they're teaching, and what does the listener need to know on this?
Well, really, this is, you know, where we see the 144,000 are going to be raptured up to the throne of God. And then, you know, we know that at the midpoint, the Antichrist turns on Israel and he attempts to come kill them. And this is where you see that they're going to flee into the wilderness, the nation of Israel, who's left, and they're going to hide inside Petra for 1,260 days, the 3.5 years. And that's what he says here, where a place was prepared of God. And, you know, the one thing I wanted to qualify that the dragon of being Satan, and you see here where his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. This is where Satan is cast out of heaven. Okay. This is where he's now going to be on the earth with all of his fallen angels. And this is where we got the idea, you know, from the beginning of when Satan failed, that he took a third part. Now, right. We know Satan can't, there's nothing new under the sun, and Satan has to mock God and steal all the mechanisms of God. But I wanted to mention here, like, why a third, right? Why is there a third? Well, we know, as I just said, Satan likes to mock the Lord, right? And we know that the Lord was 33 years old when he died, right? The cross, everyone knows and believes that the Lord was 33 years old. Well, if you take a third, okay, and you make it a percentage, that's 33%. Now, you see this a lot in the Church of Satan and in the occult. They use 33 a lot to mock the age of the Lord. You know, it's 33 degrees of Freemasonry, 33% of the fallen angels. You know, it's so obvious and blatant and in our face that Satan just is mocking everything the Lord does. But here, this is where we finally see he's cast out. And if you're here on the earth, this isn't a good time to be around.
Well, and let's, you know, for a moment, and I was up in Canada yesterday speaking at Worship in the Wild, and I was sharing this with the people that were gathered there, that they believe they have found the date of the cross. NASA and their technology went back, and they found on April the 3rd, 33 AD, There was an eclipse over Jerusalem. Darkness came over Jerusalem at the noon hour, and they speculate and believe it lasted till 3 o'clock, just as the scriptures has said. It was a Friday, it was April 3rd, and it was 33 AD. There's your threes all across the board, and 33 AD, if that is the year of the cross, which we believe it is, you can see now why in Freemasonry and the satanic worship of the where 33 is everywhere. Yep. 33 is the highest level or one of the highest levels in Freemasonry, right?
Yeah, that's the 33 degrees. That's the highest level you can get. You know, it's everywhere.
And that's so it intentional, makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
And it is against God. Satan is against the plan of God for your life. He takes on the number in scripture of 666, which is the number of man, and he's come to kill, steal, and destroy man. Jesus died on the cross. He hung there for 6 hours from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and man was created on the sixth day. All of this, friend, points to how true the Word of God is, and there is a real devil, and he's trying to destroy you. And here in the 12th chapter, he is trying to destroy what God has birthed in the nation of Israel with these 144,000. And the Bible says that she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And let me just say, Israel is going to rule the nations along with the saints of God in the kingdom age. That is his plan. And you can see that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and 27, that he tells us, for those who overcome, we're going to rule the nations. But here in the fifth verse, it says, and her child was caught up. Now that word caught up in the Greek is harpazo. That is the same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe it's the 16th verse or 17th verse, where the church is caught up. Those who are alive on the earth when the Lord comes shall be harpazoed. And the word means to be snatched or to be rescued. So we have a rapture in chapter 4 of Revelation where John is caught up. John is taken up. The church will be raptured, caught up, harpazoed before the tribulation begins. But here in the chapter 12, verse 5, at the midpoint, these 144,000 Jewish believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, who Satan wants to destroy, are going to be harpazoed. They're going to be taken up. And the remnant, which will be, you know, millions of other Jews who have not yet come to Christ. And maybe there, and I believe there'll be some that are believers as well, but they are not taken up, only the 144,000. And it will be then the woman will flee into the wilderness where she has got a place prepared of God. Now, Kirk, you mentioned it's in a place called Petra. And for our listeners, we always want to connect them to the scripture, why we say what we say. Because if we don't have Bible for it, just flush it. Go over to Isaiah chapter 16, and let's read verses 1 through 5. And I want to do it tonight with the study notes of the Expositor Study Bible. We're in Isaiah chapter 16. I'll read the scripture, and Kirk will read the study notes. Verse 1 of Isaiah 16. Send you the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah.
Petra.
To the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion.
The lamb refers to Israel. At the midpoint of the great tribulation, when the Antichrist attacks Israel, showing his true colors, Israel will then flee to Moab, which is modern-day Jordan.
All right, Moab is where the Moabites settled in the land of Jordan. Now, just back in 2022, I was in Jordan, and I went to Petra. It is the most phenomenal site that you will ever imagine. It is a city that has been carved out in the rocks. I wish we had pictures tonight to show you. Radio, it's impossible, but on our podcast, maybe this week, we can do that. But it is the perfect hiding place, and it's been built. These like crevices and caves and tunnels right in the rocks of Petra in Jordan. Verse 2, for it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of her net, so the daughter of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon.
The wandering bird speaks of Moab, who will be highly disturbed at the events that are taking place when the Antichrist suddenly attacks Israel and Israel is forced to flee. Moab or Jordan will welcome Israel at that time.
All right. So Jordan, country, the nation of Jordan is ancient Moab where the Moabites settled. And I remember, Kirk, being there and seeing that word on buildings and going, this is the place where the Jews are going to come in the middle of the tribulation to escape the Antichrist who's trying to destroy them. Verse 3, take counsel, execute judgment, Make your shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast. Now, listen to the terminology. Hide the outcast. Bewray not him who wanders.
Once again, Israel is referred to as the outcasts. Moab is instructed to hide these outcasts and not to betray them.
Verse 4, let my outcasts dwell with you, Moab. Be you a covert to them from the face of the spoiler.
The Antichrist.
For the extortioner is at the end. The spoiler ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land.
The extortioner, the spoiler, and the oppressor are all names for the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit requests of Moab at the time of the invasion by the Antichrist that his outcasts dwell with them. The place that is being spoken of is Petra, which is in present-day Jordan. For this reason, the Holy Spirit will cause the country of Jordan to escape out of the hand of the Antichrist.
And the last verse I want to read tonight in this section, verse 5, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness.
We are emphatically told here that the tabernacle of David shall be once again set up, which will take place after the church age.
This is so phenomenal Bible prophecy, and what makes it even more for me personally is I've been there. You have to walk through the mountains of Jordan, a narrow opening, mountains on both sides. And Kirk, you can't have more than, in some places, more than 5 or 6 people shoulder to shoulder. It's that narrow. You can't even drive, you can't drive a Jeep through there. And it is the perfect hiding place for the Jews. It's called Petra. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord himself is the rock. He's the Petra. And here's a nation that doesn't believe, for the most part, that Jesus is the Messiah. But because of his grace and mercy, he is protecting them in the middle of the tribulation from the Antichrist destroying them in a place called Petra. He is their rock. He is the cleft in the rock, and they're going to hide there. And God's going to bless Jordan for doing this, Kirk.
Oh, well, I wanted to ask you, when you were there, did any of the locals have any idea of the significance of what that place is and what's coming? Did anybody know?
I mean, the Jordanians really don't know their Bible. They don't know. They don't study the Bible. Most of them are Arabs. They're Muslims. Yeah. You're not even allowed to share the gospel in Jordan. So it's a very, what can I say, biblically illiterate.
Yeah,
but our tour guide Mikkel allowed me to share with him what is coming to the nation of Jordan, and the Jews are going to flee there to hide in this place where he was a tour guide for us. And I said, "There's a war coming. There's going to be an Antichrist figure. He's going to attack the nation of Israel, and the Jewish people are going to flee, and they're going to hide in this city that you're a tour guide for, called Petra." He looked at me after I shared all that with him, and he goes, I guess I'll be out of a job in that day. And we both laughed, and yet there was so much truth in that. Mm-hmm. All right, now, let me say this as we come down to the end here, and we're going to pick this up next week right where we leave off. But the woman, it said, fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God. God has prepared a place for the Jews to run to and hide. But let me tell you tonight, those of you who are listening, he has a place for you tonight to hide from all of the tribulation, including the Antichrist. It's called In Christ. the Bible says he is our refuge. He is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. But if you do not give your life to Jesus, if tonight you are a Muslim, you are a Catholic counting on the Eucharist to save you, or you're a Protestant counting on your good works to save you, you are not going to be hidden from what's coming. You're going to be left behind. The only way you can escape what's coming is you must be in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Notice what it says in this verse. This place was prepared of God that they should flee, or they should be fed there. I mean, the Moabites, the Jordanians are going to literally feed the Jews in Petra. How long? The Bible says for 1,260 days. That's for most, if not all, of the second half of the tribulation. These that escape there. There are many Jews that will not escape to Petra, and they're going to have to be, they're going to be persecuted. They're going to be martyred. There's going to be many that will come to Jesus that will be martyred. It's the worst time to ever be on the earth. Kirk, we're just about out of time, but any last words from you tonight on these verses we've covered?
Well, it's just, you know, it's an incredible time. And, you know, I've seen the pictures of Petra, and, you know, I heard some of your stories from there, and it's an overwhelming thought, really. But, you know, you nailed it here. Like, this was a place prepared of God for them, and God has already done that for all of us, right? And it's the secret place. The secret place is under God's wing, right? Being in Christ, you know, so this is available. This refuge is available to anybody, everybody. And it doesn't matter who you are. This is your rescue. This is your way to avoid all of this.
And tonight, we've got to read these last couple of verses before we go off. I want you to read 7-9 and we'll conclude there.
And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Friend, this is why you don't want to be on the earth during the tribulation. At the midpoint, Satan is going to be cast down to the earth. And he knows that his time is short, and he is going to deceive, and he's going to persecute. He's going to use the Antichrist to do whatever can be done to destroy people from believing in Jesus Christ. This is going to be the worst time ever to be on the earth. You say, where is the devil today? Well, yes, there are demon spirits on the earth, but Satan has access, the Bible tells us, to the third heaven. But here in Revelation 12, no more. There is a war. Michael, the archangel, and his angels cast him down, and now Satan's on the earth. Tonight, you can be rescued from all of this by simply making the decision to receive Jesus as your Savior. I want to pray with you tonight. Wherever you may be, pray with me these words and mean it with all of your heart. Make your commitment tonight to get in the ark of God. And it's as simple as faith in Jesus. Say this prayer from the bottom of your heart, like you're making a contract with God. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sins.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sins.
The way I've lived.
The way I've lived.
The things I've done.
The things I've done.
And tonight I want to repent.
And tonight, I want to repent.
I want to turn my life over to Jesus Christ.
I want to turn my life over to Jesus Christ.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
That you died on the cross for me.
That you died on the cross for me.
And you rose from the dead.
And you rose from the dead.
And you're alive.
And you're alive.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Right now.
Right now.
And be alive in me.
And be alive in me.
Save me from this evil world.
Save me from this evil world.
That when you come for your bride.
That when you come for your bride.
I will be counted in that number.
I will be counted in that number.
And I'll be caught up.
And I'll be caught up.
To be with you forever and ever.
to be with you forever and ever.
This is my prayer.
This is my prayer.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, we ran over a little bit, and I apologize for that. Cross-eyed is coming in from Rochester right now, but I want to say this before we end this broadcast. If you just pray with me and Kirk, you have the fear of God on you. You don't want to be here for the tribulation, and you made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're up in Canada, I want you to pick up that phone. We've written a book called The Last Trump, and it'll cover all of this and so much more that we've been teaching you on the book of Revelation. It'll go into Daniel, it'll go into Bible prophecy. It's over 300 pages. It's called The Last Trump. In a twinkling of an eye, will be gone. And it will seal for you what you're hearing tonight and the decision you made. We'll give it to you free of charge, postage paid, anybody up in Canada or the greater Buffalo area. Here, if you're up in Canada, the number to call, and there are operators waiting right now, 1-888-444-2920. That's 1-888-444-2920. If you prayed with us up in Canada tonight to get right with God and to make sure you would go in the rapture, I'm going to send you this book as the way of saying, congratulations, you've made the greatest decision of your life. And we're going to send this book to you, postage paid, free of charge. In the Buffalo area, simply call. Just the number right here is 716-229-8000. That's 716-229-8000. Operators are waiting. We're way over time. God bless you. Thank you for listening to The Last Trump. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Cross-Eyed Radio.
You have been listening to The Last Trump, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If The Last Trump has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony on how the program has helped you. If you would like to support The Last Trump financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go to our website at joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. for The Last Trump, a study on end times prophecy.